ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 51। संजय उवाच इति अर्जुनं वासुदेवस्ततोक्त्वा स्वकं रूपं दर्शयाम आस भूयः आश्वासयाम आस च भीतमेनम् भूत्वा पुनः सौम्य वपुर्महात्मा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। संजय सेड टू धृतराष्ट्र, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड कृष्णा हैविंग स्पोकन दस टू अर्जुना डिस्प्लेड हिज रियल फोर आर्म्ड फॉर्म एंड एट लास्ट शोड हिज टू आर्म्ड फॉर्म, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. Purport. When Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he first of all appeared as four-armed Narayan. But when he was requested by his parents, he transformed himself into an ordinary child in appearance. Similarly, Krishna knew that Arjuna was not interested in seeing his four-armed form. But since Arjuna asked to see this four-handed form, Krishna also showed him this form again and then showed himself in his two-handed form. The word Saumya Vapu is very significant. Saumya Vapu is a very beautiful form. It is known as the most beautiful form. When he was present, everyone was attracted simply by Krishna's form. And because Krishna is a director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again his beautiful form of Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna. We are taking one more verse, verse number 51. Arjuna vacha drishtvedam manusham rupam tava saumyam janardana idanim asmi samvrattah sacheta prakritim gata. Translation. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. Purport. Here the words Manusham Rupam clearly indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally two-handed. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and again to show the four-handed Narayan form? So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form. So how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries on Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. Om Agyam Vishnu Padaya Krishna. Translation once again. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. So, this is the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and in this chapter, Krishna, he displays his universal form to Arjuna. And seeing that most wonderful form of Krishna, Arjuna, he becomes fearful because it's a very ghastly form, very terrifying form. And Arjuna requests Krishna to display his original form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Arjuna, being a devotee of the Lord, he wants to see the Supreme Lord in a form in which he can have an affectionate relationship with the Lord. The pure devotees of the Lord, just like in Vrindavan Dham, they want to have a loving relationship with the Lord. And devotees like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and all the coward boys, boyfriends of Krishna in Vrindavan, they don't even care whether Krishna is God or not. All they want is, they want to have a very affectionate relationship with the Lord. They want to love the Lord. They want to reciprocate with the Lord in various kinds of relationships. They want to experience fine sentiments. They want to experience fine emotions in relationship with the Supreme Lord. We can see that even in this material world, the world we live in, ultimately we derive happiness by having fine relationships, by exchanging fine emotions and fine sentiments. Ultimately, that is a source of happiness, even in this world. Just like parents, they like to have an affectionate relationship with their child. And the amount of happiness they get from that relationship is like unmatched. For people in general, the baby may not be even looking so beautiful. But the parents, because they have got a loving relationship with the child, for them the child looks so beautiful. And so they derive happiness through that relationship. But as the world becomes more and more materialistic, or as people become more and more selfish, the heart becomes hard. And when the heart becomes hard, it is difficult to experience fine sentiments and to experience affection and to experience emotions. For example, in bygone ages, in Satyuga, Hiranyakashipu, he was such a great demon. But still we see that initially, when Prahlad Maharaj came to him, he made Prahlad Maharaj sit on his lap and he had tears of affection rolling from his eyes. So even demons in bygone ages, they had affectionate sentiments, at least towards their offsprings. At least he had that fine emotion, fine sentiments which he could express at least towards his own son. Maybe he was cruel towards others. But you can see in Kali Yuga, as society becomes more and more selfish, people are becoming more and more selfish and more materialistic, naturally these finer sentiments die out. people are unable to have these emotions. And we see that nowadays, what to speak of having affection towards the children, many times the child is killed even within the own womb. And many times people don't even want to have children. Like in the West, the government actually pays the citizens, please have children. And then they'll think of having children because they feel that it is too difficult, you know. It is not to our self-interest. There is too much of trouble we have to take care of children. It's a sacrifice on our part. It's an unwanted trouble. And because people are more and more selfish, they're incapable of expressing emotions, or they're incapable of experiencing happiness through having relationships. I was giving this example the other day also, that few years ago, when there was a bomb blast in suburban Bombay, usually when there is a bomb blast and when there is a calamity, everyone tends to help. Now, if you see an accident, the natural response is you want to help the person who is helplessly lying on the street, wounded on all sides. But it was seen that when that bomb blast took place, and when some of these patients or the victims of this bomb blast were taken to the hospitals, some of them didn't have arms, some of them didn't have legs, major wounds on their bodies. But later on it was found that they were, even these victims of the bomb blast were stolen of their jewelry, were stolen of their watches. So someone who came after the bomb blast took place, instead of trying to help that victim, the first thought that came to his mind was, how I can exploit this person. A person is suffering. When there is suffering, even the most hard-hearted person, his heart melts generally. Like when there was a cyclone in Gujarat, even Pakistan, they gave aid to India because it was a pitiable situation. So everyone has some soft corner in his heart, and that becomes prominent when there is a pitiable situation. But we can see the condition of society today, that people, some people didn't even mind stealing from victims who were lying on the ground, helplessly wounded and on the verge of death. So where are we heading towards? Where is the society heading towards? Fine sentiments, fine emotions, they're dying. And we are becoming more and more hard-hearted. And so there is no emotions. What to speak of others? There is no emotions even amongst relatives or family members. And so we see that unhappiness in society is also increasing. You are forgetting that ultimately happiness comes through exchange of emotions, through affection, through love, and fine sentiments. So the point is, the more we become selfish, the more the society becomes materialistic. To that extent, unhappiness in society will be on the rise. Statistics are there that in the developed countries of the world, they are more and more materialistic, more and more technologically advanced. But in these countries, unhappiness is also on the rise. In these countries, people are so selfish that neighbors don't know each other also. Where is the question of finding happiness by relationship amongst neighbors? They don't even know each other. They're strangers. So we see, statistics shows that mental anxiety, mental depression, these things are on the rise in these developed countries of the world. In fact, a few years ago, I think some television channel, it conducted some survey in which, you know, sample people, they were interviewed whether they were happy or not. And in this way, the happiness level of the different countries of the world was gauged. And it was found, amazingly, that Bangladesh, one of the poorest countries of the world, it was the happiest country. And America, one of the most prosperous countries of the world, it stood somewhere around 50. Why? Because even though Bangladesh and India was third or fourth, something like that, because even though these countries are poor, still there is some aspect of selflessness. More materialism, more selfishness. And more selfishness, the heart becomes hard and there is no emotions. Sentiments die out and there is no happiness derived through relationships. So the path of spirituality is the path of becoming selfless to the highest degree. Because we see that even in a regular society in this material world, to the extent we become selfish, to that extent unhappiness increases. To the extent we become selfless, to that extent happiness increases. So spirituality is nothing but becoming more and more selfless. And more the selflessness increases, to that extent, happiness also increases logically. And to the extent selflessness increases, a person is able to experience emotions, sentiments. And when these emotions and fine sentiments are directed towards the Supreme Lord, that is the source of the greatest happiness and the greatest pleasure. So when Krishna, he comes to this material world, he displays pastimes that draw our sentiments and emotions. Just like Damodar Leela. Today is the last day of Kartik. So in this month, we celebrate this particular pastime of the Lord. A very simple activity of the Lord, wherein he is crying in front of Mother Yashoda and requesting Mother Yashoda not to bind him. And this particular pastime is sung and glorified by all the great souls since ages. In fact, in the Damodar Ashtakam, which we sing every day, Satyavrata Muni is praying to the Supreme Lord that, let me just remember this pastime within the core of my heart always. Let me simply remember this particular activity of yours, and that is sufficient for me. Why is it sufficient for him? Because that particular leela of the Lord, this particular pastime of the Lord, churns his inner emotions so much, draws out his innermost fine sentiments so much, and is deriving so much of, it draws so much of his affection and so much of his love, and it is giving him such happiness to such an extent that he never wants to forget this particular pastime. Just like those who are parents have this experience that children, when they are growing, when they are very small, they are simply a lump of matter, kind of. They don't move around. They're simply lying there. But then as the child grows, it starts crawling around. And it starts speaking. It's trying to walk, but then again the child falls. And these activities of the child is very, very pleasing to the parents. But when the child grows more, then again his activities become troublesome to the parents. So many times parents, they like that period of the child's life because it draws the maximum affection and love from their hearts. The child is most lovable in that period. So similarly, Satyavrat Muni, this particular pastime of the Lord is drawing out so much emotion and affection towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says that let this pastime be eternally enacted within the core of my heart. But when we hear the same pastime, it doesn't invoke so much of affection, love and happiness from within our hearts. Why? Because being a part of this world, our heart has become hard because of selfishness. And the more the heart becomes soft by being selfless, to that extent, not only can we experience emotions, fine sentiments and affection within this world, but when that same emotions, fine sentiments and affection is directed toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that becomes the source of the greatest bliss. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is very merciful. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he gives what is called the yoga ladder. The first level of the yoga ladder is, Krishna says, he gives us the advice that you simply absorb your mind and intelligence in simply thinking about me. Become absorbed in me. That is the highest perfection. Because if we become absorbed in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, just like Satyavrat Muni is, we derive the highest happiness through that. But most of us don't feel that attraction towards Krishna. So Krishna gives the next stage. Perform sadhana bhakti. That is, try to fix your mind upon me in a regulated way. For example, by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra daily. By that process, Krishna says, your attraction and affection for me will be awakened. And then you'll derive the highest happiness. But even if you're not able to do that, then the next stage is, give some charity for my sake. Give up something for my pleasure. And even if you're not able to do that, give up something for some cause. Become more charitably disposed. Become more selfless. May not be in connection with Krishna, but learn the process of becoming selfless. That is the last step Krishna gives. So Krishna is telling us, begin the process of becoming selfless. If you are not able to become selfless in connection with me, at least try to become selfless for some philanthropic cause, for the sake of feeding someone else, for the sake of helping someone in suffering. Because when we try to become selfless, that is the beginning of the process of our heart becoming softer. And Krishna consciousness, or the perfection of spiritual life, is a stage wherein the heart is completely soft and is in a position of experiencing very fine emotions and sentiments, and when that is directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the source of the greatest joy and happiness. But in today's world, the situation is such that people are so selfish, are becoming more and more selfish to such an extent that we forget our own self-interest. What is even good for our own body? Forget about the bodies of others. There is a story of this king. This king, he called all his citizens. He made an announcement that it's an open invitation. All my citizens are invited to this particular point early in the morning, and everyone start running from this particular point, and by evening you have to return to the same point, and whatever amount of land you are able to cover by running, that amount of land is yours. So one man, he starts running from this point early in the morning. The condition is, to whatever point he reaches and returns back to the same point by evening, that much amount of land is his. But if he fails to reach back to the same point by evening, he doesn't get any land. So this person starts running, 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 running. And as the noon is approaching, he becomes aware that I have to run back the same distance, so better I turn back fast. But then he feels, let me run a little more. I'll run a little more, and while returning back, I'll run faster. Because when I run faster while returning back, then I'll be able to cover the same amount of land. So in this way, the noon passes, then it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and now he feels that now the land is enough. He's not able to stop himself because he feels that little more land is required for me. This much land is not sufficient. So much selfish. Then finally, he decides that now enough is enough. And he turns back. But now, the sorry plight is, he doesn't have the energy because he has run till 2 o'clock. Now to run back the same distance, even though the desire is to run faster, but the body won't permit him. He's too exhausted to run back at such a speed. But nonetheless, he runs back full speed. And he runs and runs and runs and runs, and he can see the point he has to reach at a distance. And it's dusk. And it's almost sunset. And a few moments are left before he can make it to the point. And finally, he makes it to the point, falls on the ground, and is dead. So on the papers, all the land is his, because he has made it to the point once again. But he is no longer there to enjoy that property of his. Similarly, in today's world, we see people have become so engrossed in a materialistic way of life, they don't even care about their own bodies many a times. It is said that you spend all your health to gain some wealth, and then you spend all your wealth to gain back your health. So what is the point of the whole exercise? So it is required that we understand how it is absolutely essential to become more and more selfless in order to achieve true happiness on the spiritual platform and also happiness even in the material platform. And to become selfless is perfectly logical also, in one sense. Another story of a person who was on a mountaineering trek. So as he was going on mountain climbing, suddenly it happened that he lost the company of his other friends and he was left alone on the mountains. And he slipped from a particular point, but somehow miraculously, as he was falling down from the mountain, he found the branch of a tree that was protruding out. So he hung on to that branch of the tree, which kept him from falling to the ground. But now his dilemma was, he was hanging on to this particular branch. If he left the branch, he would fall to the ground and he would be dead. But how long could he hold on to the branch of this tree? So he didn't know what to do. And time was passing. It was becoming evening. And he could realize that the branch of the tree was becoming more and more weak. And very soon it would break and it would fall to the ground and he could be dead. And even if the branch of the tree remained, since it was becoming evening and since it was the mountain, the temperature was reducing. It was becoming more and more colder, and he realized that very soon he would freeze to death, even if he hung on to that branch. So now he started praying to the Lord intensely. Please, my Lord. And he was desperate. That, please help me. What can I do at this particular point of time? And his prayer was so intense that he could hear a voice from within. And the voice said, I will help you. Please let go of the branch. Now the person, he couldn't believe what he heard. Because if he let go of the branch, he would fall down the mountain on the ground and would be dead. And he could clearly see what was beneath him. So he again prayed, my Lord, please give me a clear indication of what I should do at this particular point of time. Again he heard the same message. Please let go of the branch. Now all this person had was this branch. Let go of this branch, it was unbelievable for him. The Lord within the heart said, believe in me, simply let go of the branch and I'll help you. But the person was finding it very difficult. How can I let go of the branch? But the point is, does he have a choice? If he holds on to this branch, how long? Either the branch will break or the environment becomes so cold that he'll freeze to death. Whether he lets go of, even if he holds on to the branch, his death is assured. So the logical thing is, let go of the branch and give God a chance. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam saropapebhyo mokshesyaya masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, abandon everything and just surrender to me and I will take care of you completely. Become more and more selfless and focus your attention upon me. But somehow, we are attached to our own arrangements in life. But the point is, how long can we hold on to our own arrangements? Ultimately, death is going to take away everything that we have. Anything that we have in this world, is it going to remain with us forever? We have no choice. We are going to lose it anyways. But if we voluntarily become selfless in connection with Krishna, then we are giving Krishna a chance.
So even logically speaking, to become more and more selfless in connection with Krishna is the wisest choice. So when Krishna asks us anything, asks us our time, asks us our resources, it is not for him because he is the source of everything, but he is asking all of these things for our benefit, so that we will become more selfless and we will be in a position to experience fine emotions, fine sentiments, affection and love, which is the actual source of happiness for the soul. So we can give time to Krishna by spending some time every day chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. By chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are sacrificing our time for Krishna's pleasure. And by doing that, we will be able to advance in spiritual life and experience happiness. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.